Friends, this chapter 8 is specially devised for better understanding of letter of credit. No doubt, letter of credit right from the chapter 1 to chapter 7, under the reference, we have discussed so many things about the letter of credit. But certain things which we have not come across, that including earlier what we have discussed, is covered up under this particular chapter of letter of credit. So, the objective of introduction of this particular chapter is to understand right from the zero to end the basic concept of the letter of credit, and then role of letter of credit in international trade, its importance and mitigation of the risk which come across during the lifetime of the letter of credit, and the performance risk recognized that various parties associated with the letter of credit are carrying certain risk, and that risk is getting mitigated. And next is to understand and develop the skill to analyze the workflow of the LC. Workflow means right starting from the issuance of the LC, then documentation, then its verification of document, then negotiation of document, then payment. And this is in relation to the UCP 600, that is Uniform Customs for Practice per Documentary Credit, publication number 600, and ISBP, that is International Standard Banking Practices, which while negotiating the document, while doing the checking of the document, ISBP is very, very important. And the Indian regulatory requirements under RBI, FEMA, DGFT and Customs. Considering all these aspects and our objective, the presentation is structured in such a manner that you will thoroughly go through the each and every aspect of letter of credit, considering the structure, then parties, then types of letter of credit, then mechanism, how it works, then legal and regulatory framework which is governing the letter of credit, then documents required under letter of credit, common discrepancies while negotiating the document that one can come across with, and the risk in the letter of credit and its mitigation strategy or mitigation document, and finally, the advantages, limitations, digitalization, etc., all those aspects we are going to cover in this thing. So, as I said, we have come across with the letter of credit in last 5-7 chapters. And slowly we have, very in limited manner, we have discussed about the letter of credit. So, while introducing the letter of credit, what is first and foremost important thing is to understand letter of credit. What is it? Defining. So, letter of credit is nothing but it is an instrument in international trade that offers the security to both importer as well as the exporters, right? Second aspect is it is issued by the bank on behalf of the importer, and it is in favor of the overseas supplier, and it is issued and it is passed on or it is advised through their banker in that country. This letter of credit always gives the guarantee of the payment to the exporter upon submission of credit compliant document, right? And the mechanism is in such a manner it is accepted worldwide that it reduces the counterparty risk and ensures timely payment and promptly do the cross-border transactions and promote the international trader. In India, almost all banks are using the letter of credit. On the international front, the norms under the Director General of Foreign Trade are very crucial and important because these are the separate entity. It is not Reserve Bank. It is not buyer credit or its bank or banks involved in that. But this is the government entity who carefully watching the movement of the goods, and then taxes and all these things. That is why the compliance in respect of the DGFT norms is very, very essential. Okay. On international front, letter of credits are naturally subject to UCP 600 and ISBP, that is International Standard Banking Practices, are very essential. Very essentially that one has to know it. So let us discuss the foundation structure, types, procedure, process flow, types of parties, stakeholders, then how the payment is made, what is the reimbursement, and all of the things that we are going to discuss hereafter. Now, purpose and importance of the letter of credit in trade finance. Letter of credit's purpose is bridging the gap between the exporter and exporter so as to give comfort to each other. That is the basic function of letter of credit. And the core purpose is to ensure the payment will be made and goods will be delivered at the same time without loss of time. Then LC also provides the structured and bank guaranteed payment mechanism, which helps to manage the risk associated with the non-payment or delayed payment or delayed shipment or non-performance or not at all acting as per the terms of LC. So these things always comes in the life cycle of the letter of credit. The key importance of the letter of credit in trade finance is, first one is a payment assurance. Under letter of credit, payment is definitely made, not by the importer, but at least by importers or LC issuing bank. Then risk is getting mitigated, particularly credit risk, okay, country risk and performance risk. This is getting mitigated. Then it is facilitating the trade. It enhances the credibility and enable the trade where mutual trust is lacking. So unknown parties can very comfortably, they can do the transaction under letter of credit or do the trade under letter of credit. Then regulatory compliance. I said various norms have been stipulated by Reserve Bank as far as exchange controls are concerned, that has to be stipulated, that has to be complied with. Then UCP 600 norms has to be required to be complied with. Then bank intermediation is another aspect where the involvement of trusted bank, which ensures the financial discipline and proper documentation and due diligence. Now the structure of LC, how LC looks. It has the element, very important elements in LC, which is number one, LC number. What is it contains? It contains, first is LC number and date of issue of LC. This is most important aspect in LC, right? Then applicant. Applicant is nothing but buyer or importer. Then beneficiary. Beneficiary is none other than seller or exporter. Then issuing bank means importer's bank from importer's country. That is issuing bank, LC issuing bank. Advising bank, always it is in supplier's bank or exporter's bank, which advises the letter of credit or hand over the letter of credit to them or intimate about the letter of credit to them. Another thing is that amount and currency is clearly mentioned in the letter of credit, which is required to be paid by the issuing bank or issuer or importer when, as per the LC term, when they receive the document or goods. Particularly, I am making a reference of the goods and payment. Remember, when the documents we are dealing with, the banks always deal with the document. Banks always deal with the document. They do not look at the whether goods have been received or not. If they received the document, they will instruct to make the payment. And if it is not made, then under obligation, bank has to make the payment, irrespective of the fact whether the goods are received by the importer or not. Okay, then types of LC is also mentioned in the LC text itself, whether it is revocable or irrevocable. If it is not mentioned, it is irrevocable or irrevocable, it is noted that it is considered that this LC issued is irreversible or irrevocable, right? The validity period or expiry period. This period is definitely required to be mentioned. Without that, LC is not compliant. What is the last date up to which the LC is valid? That is a validity period. And that is also considered as an expiry period. Okay. Then description of the goods and services. Clearly, the description of the goods has to be mentioned in the LC. There is no requirement of mentioning the order number or etc. And these things. But in short, but full description of the goods is required to be mentioned in the LC. Then shipment term. Shipment term is the information on the shipment deadline. That is the last date of shipment or port of loading or port of discharge, mode of transport. These things are also clearly required to be mentioned in the LC document. Then document payment instruction. Payment instruction also should be clearly mentioned, and to that effect, there should be a bill of lading, commercial invoice and packing list, insurance certificate, certificate of origin. These are some of the documents which must be submitted to the export, must be submitted by the exporter to claim the payment, right, under letter of credit. What list is given in the letter of credit? These documents are required, or whatever documents are required in addition to whatever I mentioned now, that has to be mentioned in the letter of credit, and the exporter has to comply with the submission of those documents for onward submission to the importer or by importer's bank. Then payment terms. These payment terms may be at site when it is drawn at the documents are drawn at site. The payment will be made at site. And deferred payment, it may be 30 days, 60 days, 90 or 120 days or 180 days, depending upon the, it is whatever is quoted in the letter of credit. Then reimbursement instruction. Here reimbursement means what? Reimbursement means the giving instruction by the LC issuing bank to some other bank where it maintains the account in that particular currency. So they give the authority to that bank, and that bank, when it pays after receipt of claim from the exporter's bank or negotiating bank or confirming bank, when they receive the instruction, then that bank will pay to them that. So the mechanism of giving instruction and making payment and claiming the payment is called as a reimbursement. This reimbursement instruction is clearly defined in the letter of credit, how it is to be and when it is to be reimbursed. And finally, there is always mention about the how the LC is issued and the governing rules under which the LC is issued. If it is not mentioned, it is always required to be when this letter of credit is issued under UCP 600, publication number, a publication of International Chamber of Commerce or any other applicable rule, that is also required to be mentioned in the letter of credit. Whatever I mentioned, that is already cleared here, covered here, and this document, this particular slide, will indicate each and every aspect that what we have discussed just now. Please go through that. Now, let us understand, go a little bit deeper, key parties involved in the letter of credit. You are aware of it, but certain aspects may not be aware. So, letter of credit involves several parties. Understanding the role of each party is very important. So, the key parties are, first one is the applicant, that is importer or buyer. Second one is a beneficiary or exporter or seller of the goods. Third one is a LC issuing bank, that is importer's bank. Fourth one is advising bank, that is LC advising bank, advise the LC or hand over the LC to the exporter or seller, that is advising bank, which always remain in exporter's country. And then confirming bank, in addition to LC issuing bank, another guarantee is, or another confirmation or another guarantee is given by a separately intimating to the exporter at the instances or at the request of the importer bank or LC issuing bank, the bank who gives its additional guarantee of the payment, then that bank is called as a confirming bank. Next one is a negotiating bank. Negotiating bank is nothing but it is the bank to who negotiates the document or handles the document. It may be confirming bank, or it may be advising bank, or any other bank of the exporter, depending upon whatever the instruction has been given in the letter of credit. Then reimbursing bank, I have explained about that. If it is a reimbursing bank, then it is well and good. If there is no reimbursement, then direct payment also can be made by under letter of credit to the exporter or seller by the importer or importer's bank, depending upon the instruction given in letter of credit. So these are some of the key parties of letter of credit. Let us discuss each party in detail. There is no need to discuss each party in detail because it is already given, but wherever it is, I have already mentioned you and clarified you how the LC is issued and what is the role of each and every party during the course of our previous discussion also. So I am going just passing through immediately so as to cover up the another aspects. Then you know applicant, who is beneficiary. Beneficiary, as I suggested, it is exporter or seller where all the required documents on time is required to be submitted by the exporter and comply with all the terms and condition of LC. Issuing bank is the importer's bank who issues the LC, and it LC terms and conditions will be determined based on the agreement that has been entered or contract that has been entered into by buyer with the supplier. That copy of that letter is required to be submitted to the bank while issuing the letter of credit, because terms and condition which are mentioned in that contract is to be stipulated here in the letter of credit in legal manner or framing it legally, right? Then advising bank is definitely in advising bank, as I said, it will be the bank which is in exporter's country who advises the letter of credit to the exporter. Then confirming bank, as I said, the additional guarantee is given by the bank in addition to the guarantee of the payment of LC issuing bank to the exporter. So the bank who issues the additional guarantee of that particular LC is called as a confirming bank, which guarantees the payment alongside the issuing bank. This bears the payment risk and often at the request of exporter. Then negotiating bank. This may or may not be an advising bank. This bank examines the document. Negotiation word is little complicated, no? That is why I am explaining a little bit. So this bank, negotiating bank, examines the document submitted by the exporter and negotiates. Negotiates means either it is purchase or discount or negotiate or send it on collection. It may also advance the payment before the reimbursement from the issuing bank. Its responsibility is checking the document and its compliance, forwarding the document to the issuing bank, and handling the funds under the letter of credit is the responsibility of the negotiating bank. Reimbursing bank, as I said, it is the bank, it is a middle bank, it is an optional bank, wherever it is required. If reimbursement means directly instruction upon instruction, giving instruction to pay and claiming the payment from the exporter, in these two, there is one middle bank that is called a reimbursing bank, and this bank is the bank where LC issuing bank maintains its nostro account with them in particular currency in which the LC is also issued. So they instruct that particular bank, as soon as you receive the claim from such and such bank under the letter of credit number so and so, you pay it immediately. This kind of instructions are given by the LC issuing bank under LC, and separate message through the SWIFT it is to be required to be given at least 1 week prior to the date of reimbursement, so as to reimbursing bank has to prepare for the funds and all other things. There will be, depending upon the type of currency, there will be multiple nostro banks, and type of currency and is an important factor where this reimbursement instruction selecting the reimbursing bank is important from the LC issuing bank's point of view, and it is well determined in the text of the LC itself that who is the reimbursement bank and how the exporters bank can claim the reimbursement from that bank. Okay, so these are some of the key parties which I have summarized here. Need not again bother about that. You can very well look into this. Role is also mentioned and number of parties are also given. Then let us understand a little bit more about the types of letters of credit. There are various types of letter of credit. One that is revocable, irrevocable, that you have already I have explained. Then letter of credit, the types with a specific purpose. The types are devised with a specific purpose for which that letter of credit is issued. The classification is revocable and irrevocable letter, that is already mentioned. Irrevocable letter already mentioned. Confirmed letter of credit, elaborately I have explained just now. Then unconfirmed letter of credit means it is a normal letter of credit which is not confirmed. Only issuing bank is the responsible for making the payment. And if confirming bank is there, then in that case, confirming bank along with the issuing bank, they are responsible. In case the LC issuing bank fails to make the payment, then the confirming bank comes forward and they will make the payment. So unconfirmed bank is nothing, but it is the LC issuing bank only. Then site letter of credit means where the LC says the document should be drawn at the site or draft or DP, document against the payment. Okay, under such situation, the document, that LC is called as a site letter of credit. Reverse is that, as opposite to that, if there is a usance or deferred letter of credit, usance letter of credit or a deferred letter of credit, where the payment mode is at future date, maybe after 30 days, 60 days or 90 days after the date of shipment or date of invoice or date of receipt. These things need to be clearly mentioned in the letter of credit, and accordingly it is a responsibility of the bank, okay, who receives the document to stamp it, time marked it, and date should be marked over there so as to determine the clear and correct the date of maturity. Okay, RBI regulation says that usance period and the interest on deferred payment, LCs are subject to FEMA guidelines and trade credit regulation. Long supply chain or whom the buyer needs the credit period is the common in respect of both usance as well as the deferred payment LC. Then transferable letter of credit. Transferable letter of credit, there is a separate article in UCP 600, and that article is Article 38, which covers the transferable letter of credit, gives the clear guidelines. They mention in the body of the letter of credit, there is a mention that this LC is transferable. If this word is appearing in the letter of credit, then it will be governed under UCP 600 Article 38. Okay, transfer should be within that framework which is given under Article 38. Now back-to-back letter, for example, under transferable letter of credit, once the letter of credit is transferred at the request of the beneficiary, remember, request for transferring the LC should be received from the beneficiary of the LC or seller of the goods of the LC or the exporter to his bank, that is exporter's bank, requesting him to transfer either this LC fully or partly to another beneficiary who can directly export the goods and submit the document to him. Then afterwards, he will collect the document and submit it to his bankers. Okay, this is the mechanism of transferable letter of credit. Right. Now, another type of LC is a back-to-back letter of credit. Back-to-back letter of credit is nothing but one LC is issued against the another LC. So, for example, you have received the export LC, and that export LC, is taken as a base document or base LC against which another LC is issued. This is required when there is a local procurement of the goods, and the exporter doesn't have the money. He will request his banker that I have this export letter of credit. You take that as a bank or security, and against that you issue me another letter of credit in favor of my suppliers, local suppliers, so that I will receive the good, prepare the goods by manufacturing the goods and make it available to the supplier. You can very well mark the lien, or I may hypothecate those goods to you as a security, additional security. And as and when export will be done, that time you negotiate the document and recover those. And I will make the payment of that outstanding LC. So this is back-to-back LC. Commonly, this back-to-back LC is used when the intermediary, that is middleman, does not want to disclose the source or supplier to the buyer. Then standby letter of credit. It is nothing but it is a type of a guarantee. Rather than the payment instrument, it is only used if the applicant fails to fulfill the contractual obligations. Okay, LC is also contractual obligation, but there is a involvement of much document. Whenever more documents are involved, then at that point of time, standby letter of credit is offered. ICC rule says that, often governed by this ISP 98 also, the rule that can be applicable to the standby letter of credit. RBI view stated that it is contingent liability. Standby letter of credit, like letter of credit, it is also having the contingent liability nature. As and when the payment is made under this, that will be converted into contingent liability into constituent's liability. Then another type of LC is the red clause letter of credit. I have explained in one of our chapter that red clause letter of credit. Red clause letter of credit is nothing but the giving. In issuing bank gives an instruction to the advising bank to make the advance or make the payment to the exporter to the certain extent so as to make them available, procure the goods and prepare it for the export purpose. In that case, whatever interest and all other things will be there, it is clearly mentioned to from whom it is to be recovered. It is from the exporter or from any other party or party to it. And if at all nothing is paid, then in that case, LC issuing bank is responsible for interest and charges also in case the export doesn't take place, and even liability is also can be recovered or liability can be paid by the LC issuing bank, because at their instances, the advance is paid much before the export takes place. This is about red clause letter of credit. Now, green clause letter of credit, like red clause letter of credit, green clause letter of credit is also there. So, green clause letter, when it called as a green clause letter of credit, so along with the red clause letter of credit, there is another instruction. So, after preparation of the documents, LC issuing bank says, you take the possession, that advising bank or bank, exporter's bank should take possession of the goods and keep safely in their godown or warehouses. This is called green clause letter of credit. This is generally not happens because LC always says, and banks say, they are dealing with the documents and not with the goods. Then revolving letter of credit. Revolving letter of credit means that once the LC is utilized for another shipment, rather than opening another LC, under the same LC, the amount utilized will be reinstated. Amount will be reinstated. This is generally used by the continuous export transactions, wherever it happens or import transaction happen at that point of time. There will be multiple shipment happens with the one same party for the similar goods. Then under such situation, the revolving letter of credit is ideal. Number of shipments are also mentioned in that. Number of times the LC gets reinstated, also it is mentioned in the debt. And finally, period up to which this validity is also mentioned. Beyond that, even though LC is valid, and number of shipments are covered, already covered, then in that case, the exporter cannot make any other shipment under that kind of LC. So, because nature and times, number of times, the revolving and reinstating the used portion of the letter of credit is already reinstated and there is no availability thereafter. Okay. It is ideal for repetitive transaction, as I said, between the regular buyers and seller. Now, mechanism and operational flow of the letter of credit transaction. Letter of credit ensures that the payment should be and the movement of the goods should be smooth. Okay. And the operational flow, typically, we have to understand step by step. What happens? 1, 2, 3, 4, like that, you know. Sales agreement between the buyer and seller entered into by both. And it is getting exchanged. Copy of the same is given to the bank. Bank with along with the LC application by LC issuing bank or importer. Bank will see the agreement and accordingly prepare the draft of the LC and give it to the LC, give it to the importer to check, verify, confirming the name and beneficiary, LC amount, currency, validity, shipment term, and documents required. Okay, that has to be confirmed by the applicant to his banker, that is LC issuing bank. Another step is, once it is confirmed by the importer that all the terms condition according to the agreement are already perfectly you have drafted, so no issues, then LC issuing bank issues the letter of credit through the SWIFT and it goes to the beneficiary bankers or advising bank. This LC is typically governed under UCP 600 and that is clearly mentioned at the end of the letter of credit. Then, once the LC is received by the advising bank, it verifies its authenticity, properly it is issued or not. And if satisfied, they will send an intimation that here is your export letter of credit, you collect it and they will ask for their charges of advising. They will collect it. If charges are not paid by the exporter, then it is issuing banks is responsible for making the payment of charges to them also. The shipment of the goods by the exporter. Once the LC is issued by the LC is received by the exporter and it is advised by his banker, then it is the responsibility of the exporter to ship the goods as stipulated in the LC, prepare the document within 7 to 15 days and submit the entire set of the document to his banker for the purpose of negotiation and onward sending and forwarding to the LC issuing bank, right? The advising and negotiating bank verifies these documents when they receive it from the exporter's bank. And if it is compliant, documents are forwarded to the issuing bank and payment is made. Whenever it is DP, that is document against payment, then documents are handed over once the importer makes the payment, or if there is a bill of exchange will be accepted by the importer and he will make the payment at future date, that is in case of usance LC. Payment of issuing bank. Next step is a payment. The payment by the issuing bank. Normally, importer makes the payment to his banker, that is issuing bank, and issuing bank forwards that same payment by debit to his account and sending the remittances as foreign exchange outward remittances. Okay, and then they will hand over the document, or document must might have already handed over when the documents were drawn at a usance. Then the document will be handed if it is DP, and my remittance will go to the exporter's bank with an instruction to credit the exporter's bank account. Okay, the importer takes the delivery of the goods, and they will proceed further for filing the bill of entry. Then bill of entry, I already explained what is bill of entry. It is a conclusive proof of receipt of the goods within the territory of our country or importer's country. Okay, then payment of applicable duties will be paid to the custom authorities and customs act, DGFT regulations and RBI PMR rules will be followed by the importer. Now, document required under letter of credit. Various documents are required, and depending upon these document, list of the document is depending upon the importer country regulations. But common documents are commercial invoice, bill of lading, packing list, certificate of origin, insurance certificate, and any other document as specified in the LC as per the requirement of that importer specific country. Right?